On SEN, questions without notice. For Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.
So a lot of people want to know where they can hear the full interview. Maybe you just caught the last bit of it, or you might want to listen to it again, as a lot of people have suggested. So it's going to be available for podcasts. They're working very hard to get it up, so in about 10 minutes, and you can have a listen. I'm going to go and listen to it again. That's how much I enjoyed Gary Player.
And there's so many texts coming through. I just want to read this one out. Morning, boys. Just having to add my voice to the joy of listening to Gary this morning. What an amazing, wonderful man who loves life and people, not a nasty bone in his body. Wouldn't it be wonderful if some of the perpetually aggrieved could listen to him for 10 minutes? Yeah. They have no idea what a blessing it is to be alive and make the most of what we all have. Love listening and laughing along. Also with Maddie too, always makes me laugh. Have a great day from Faye. Thank you, Faye.
I love it, Faye. And it's a small world we live in, because let's introduce you to David, who's called through. G'day, David.
Sorry, I missed that.
Just welcoming you to the program, David.
Oh, it's great to be talking to you, especially about my mate Gary.
So you grew up with him?
Well, I've been in touch with Gary from the day he left.
Oh no!
Oh, you've just left us,
yeah,
David.
David's just
left us. We'll have to try and reestablish a line to David, because he was just about to tell us about growing up with Gary in South Africa. Gary,
we don't need
a lot of Gary's going on this morning.
There are, aren't there? We were going to talk about some of the more obvious questions, like why did he wear black? He wore black for the vast majority of his career. And from what I could gather, it was all about his dad. His dad said, listen, don't be like everyone else. Stand out. Yep. Do something that's bit different to everyone else. And so he said black goes with everything. He said black's cool, and it just looks good. You can wear it at any age. This is what I read. What is that how you
Well, the other part to that was I'd heard him also say that it draws the heat and the energy and makes you powerful.
Well, David's rejoined us, who grew up with Gary Player. G'day, David.
I'm right here, yes, indeed. One little thing I might mention, at school, Gary was always out there. He was always one of the boys. And we had huge oak trees around the field, and the fellows would rake all the oak leaves into a pit. Gary dived into it one day and actually broke his neck. And I can tell you that I remember him walking around school with a brace, and thank goodness he recovered. And that never affected him during his golfing career.
Was he always as dedicated and committed to the fitness side of things as a young man?
Yes, he was. We sort of didn't see it that way. I think that came in later life. All his press-ups and things that he did. But as a sportsman, and being of fairly short stature, Gary was even a good high jumper. I mean, everything that he did as an athlete was top class. And as a person, Gary has never changed.
He's authentic, isn't he, David?
Pardon?
He's authentic, isn't he?
You're so authentic, you just cannot believe. I've walked around watching him when he brought out Nicklaussen and Seve Ballesteros and Palmer and all them. I walked 18 holes every time with him, and I'd never come close to him. But when he saw me, he'd say, how long have you been here? And I said, Gary, from the first tee. And often he'd say, wait, meet me afterwards and we'll have a chat. When he was here last at the Australian Masters in Melbourne, we spent an hour together in the clubhouse afterwards, just talking golf, talking about school. Never, ever changed. He's been the same.
It's a great memories, David. We appreciate you sharing them with us. And we are getting a great sense of the man. And there was another part of what I was watching yesterday about him, and he missed a cut. He was playing a tournament, missed the cut. So the guy he was playing with, I can't remember who it was, gets out there the next day, gets onto the whatever hole it was, and there he is. There's Gary. He's in the bunker. Must have been on the course start playing. He said, oh, I'll see you. And this bloke was playing 36 holes. He says, I'll see you afterwards. He goes, no worries. He said, by the time he come around, he's still in the bunker. He spent the whole day in there practicing his bunker shots. We've got to get a breakaway, Whispers. We can keep talking about Gary Player. Well, we'll do questions of that now. So there's some other stuff we might want to have a chat about, but we're happy to talk about Gary Player as well. Here for Country Racing Victoria, it's back racing strong. You can visit country.racing.com. And Kennard's Hire, making trade easy with a 2-hour delivery promise and heaps more.
Kenneth.
Kennards Hire is making trade easy with an express load and go service and heaps more. The country is back racing strong. Support local communities and visit country.racing.com.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Oh, don't forget, the Caller of the Year can win a 2020 Toyota Hilux Rugged X valued at over $75,000. The all-new Toyota Kaluga. Register your interest online today. Just had one of our great career highlights. Was for me. I don't know about you, Wispy, but it was for me, speaking to Gary Player. And I'm still laughing at some of the stuff he said. The great story about it, the lady who asked him what time the bus leaves. What outfit did he have on? White, did he say? White pants, yellow short, red jacket, thinking he's looking pretty smart. She thought he was a bus driver. Are you got any questions without notice? Or
no,
just,
I haven't
do
got
you just
any.
Want to reminisce?
I'm still reading all the text messages that are coming through on the Temper text, how much they enjoyed that interview. He was extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I know that we both came in here this morning and we said, look, we've both done a lot of research. We've watched a lot of stuff in the lead up. We want to ask him all these questions. Mm. And we thought that he was great. Having watched him with Charlie Rose and all the other different interviews that he did, we thought that he was going to be great. But we didn't believe or think in our wildest dreams that he was going to be that good.
No, we did not. So 1300 736 736. Join us for questions without notice, or you might want to just share your own memories. 0433 98 1116 of Gary Player over the journey. Do you know the Australian Open, Tim? It doesn't attract the big names now because the competing interests, and there are other tours going on, and you can stay in America and play for $9 million rather than getting on a plane and travel to Australia, which still has great golf. It still has good prize money, but not when you've got to travel across the other side of the world. So I'm looking back at Gary Player when he's won the seven. He won his first one in 1958, but some of the names that used to come out. So Kel Nagle, obviously as an Australian point of view. Gary Player, Arnold Palmer won it in 66. The great Peter Thompson, Australia's own, won it in 67. Jack Nicklaus won it in 68. Gary Player went back-to-back 69-70. Jack Nicklaus in 71. Peter Thompson in 72. It just got David Graham, of course, a great Australian, Jack Newton, Greg Norman then wins it. What about those days?
Yeah.
To wander around the golf course and see Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player just smack it around.
Well, that was one of the other things that came through in one of the interviews. Gary Player was talking about the fact that he wanted to be the best golfer around the world, not just in South Africa or not just in America, not just on the European. He wanted to be the best golfer that played right around the world.
Yeah.
And then I think there's something like 300 golf courses around the world that he's had some input into designing as well, across 35 countries. Chris is in Templestowe. I think he wants to talk about the AFL ticketing frustration at the moment. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, guys. We Carlton members, there's about 10 of us, but now over the years with kids and all that, the group's grown to about 20, right? Now, we always get on to book our tickets. And we got on yesterday, 10 a.m, myself and a friend of mine. Level 4 was exhumed. All the tickets were gone. All that was available at 10 a.m. was level 2A and level 1. We thought there was a glitch in the system because it's Carlton, Port Adelaide. It's not, all the tickets aren't gone. And all of a sudden, nothing was happening. I rang up the AFL and they said to me, oh, we haven't released level 4 yet. And I said to them, how come? Like, I don't want to sit down on level 1 and get soaked if it rains. Why haven't you released it? And I said to the lady, is it because of TV? You want to make it look like it's full? I don't know what it is. Well, she said to me, oh, we may open it up tomorrow. I go, what do you mean you may? And I said to her, if that's the case, maybe you need to let the people know this is becoming all too hard. I'd rather get those 20 people come to my joint, put on a barbie, and you guys miss out on 20 people just like that, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Yeah, well, keep listening throughout the day, Chris, because SEN, but more so Sam and Duane, do the ticketing stuff. Really, they'll get across that. We do acknowledge that it is challenging. So I found the one person that didn't like the interview, Jake in Brunswick. I feel sorry for you, Jake. And not that you have to like it, but your reasons for not liking it, I feel very, very sorry for you. Joel's on the road. Go, Joel.
G'day, Gary. G'day, Tim. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
A quick one. I didn't get to listen to the whole interview, but the part I did get to listen to was when he was talking about him being a young boy, and growing up and, doing his own thing. Dad was working away. The brother was at war, all that sort of stuff. Now, to me, that just built resilience as a young child, as a young boy, and as a young sportsman. So that was just fantastic to listen to see how he took all that as a positive.
Yep.
Makes me wonder sometimes that, do you think young boys or young men these days should take that same resilience, you know, going to play interstate, to think, well, and rather getting homesick, how about we just take it on the chin and let's build my own little dynasty and look at the positive sides, because that just shows resilience can be built as a young man, and he didn't give up. It was a great story and a great man. Had really good feelings.
Yeah. Nice, good messaging, Joel. Yeah. We do preach resilience, but we can't say one way or another whether the younger generation are or aren't. We suspect it's just different, Tim. That was out of circumstance. So his father was working in the mines. His brother basically brought him up. His brother bought him some weights and said, promise me, you know, if you, because you're only small, that you start having to go at these weights. And he said he did. He picked them up from that day and never stopped. So everyone's different. But clearly he's as driven as anyone that I've sort of come across in terms of...
That's just in him though, isn't it, too?
Yeah. Well, it's a personality trait, isn't
That's
it?
Right. That's right. His mum, and, you know, like his mum passed away when he was 8 years of age as well. Dom's in Burwood. Good morning, Dom.
Hey, a couple of quick points. The reason that they all came out here for the Australian Open in the 60s and 70s, there wasn't a huge amount of money on the US tour, and that's where they used to make their... Because they were all under Schlesinger, so they all were contracted to Schlesinger, who back in those days made really good clubs, and they got a heap of money, and it was sensational. My first remember Gary Player, mid-60s, there used to be Big Three Golf from Firestone Country Club in Akron, Ohio, and Jack Nicklaus, who was fat then, Arnold Palmer, who was charismatic, and Gary Player used to play nine holes. And that's what got me in the golf. And as you guys said, he was probably up there with Ben Hogan as just someone who was just totally driven and focused to achieve the best. And when you think in those days, he travelled all over the world, you know, which travelling back then was nothing like it is today. And it was just an amazing career. And he's 86 or something, and he's fit as most blokes in their 50s.
He is, Dom. Go and have a look at some of his stuff online if you get that opportunity, and you've got a great appreciation for him already. But I'm sure we've introduced him to a lot of people that perhaps weren't aware of him, and I think they may be better for it, Tim.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And if you've got about 8.5 minutes to spare, I found this. This was against Tony Lima, the World Match Play semi-final in 1965. It was 36 holes. He fell 7 shots behind, and then he caught him on the 18th hole in the afternoon. So he played 18 holes in the morning, 18 holes in the afternoon, caught him on the 18th hole. Then they played one hole after that, and he won the match play. Just unbelievable stuff.
Great stuff. We loved it, and we appreciated all the feedback that's coming through. Again, you can get it on the podcast, so if you missed it or you want to recommend it to someone else to have a listen to, then do that. We'll take a break and get Sammy Edmund in next.
That was Questions Without Notice for Charlie Battisti & Co., Melbourne's finest facility for the repair of prestige German vehicles. Get your repair process started.